We radically love Jesus here, and we don't apologize for it. Come on. He is worthy. The Bible says to worship Him with not only your heart, but your strength, too. Amen. It's okay even to dance before the Lord. And you know, the Bible says that David danced with all his might.
Yes.
That meant physical involvement as well. Amen. It wasn't that he was, we'd say, well, he was dancing in the spirit. Sure he was, but he was dancing with all his might.
Yes.
Amen. The body was engaged. The whole person was engaged in worship. And he did that to humble himself before his God. And he said, I'll be even more undignified than this. We got to get over ourselves, don't we?
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let God set you free. Step out of your zone into His zone. Life is good in the God zone. Hallelujah. Out of you and into Him. I got to step out of me and into Him. So thank you for being with us today, being a part today. Well, I had the opportunity to do a memorial service Friday of someone that I had known for a couple years, actually. No, actually, I've known her probably about 7 years or so. But the last couple of years, I've kind of been her pastor. She's been out at Shelton Rehab, and so I've been out visiting her on occasion out there. And then she recently passed away. So the family had asked me to do the memorial service for her. And so I look forward to those opportunities, because it's especially at those times when people really begin to think about their soul, you know. What's next? What's going to happen to me when I die? And I really rejoice in the fact that this woman loved the Lord and she walked with the Lord. And she didn't live for herself, but she lived for God and she lived for others. And, you know, folks, that's where abundance of life is at.
Yeah.
It's when you live for God and for others. When you give your life away, you find it. Come on.
Yeah.
You let go of you and you start living for Him and start living for others.
Yeah.
You'll find that you will be refreshed. You'll be renewed. You will be fed from the manna of heaven, amen? Jesus says, my meat is to do the will of my Father. I'm sustained. I'm fulfilled. Satisfied is what bread represents in the Bible. I'm satisfied in the will of my Father. And folks, God is trying to call every one of us into a place where we have said we're done with my way. I want to live the rest of my days. And I entitled the message, and I'm going to kind of blend it into today's message, but a life well lived. And I thought, you know, folks, this is something that we need to ask ourselves every day. It's like, who knows how much time we have left? And what do you want to be remembered for? You know, I've heard a sermon called The Dash Between the Dates, you know, the beginning and the ending. And what about that little dash, what happened during that time? How many know that whatever we've done for self, zero. If you've lived your entire life for self, guess what? Zero. But if you live for God, if you walk with Jesus and you love others, you serve others, you'll have a rich and abundant life, not only in the world to come, but in the now. There's an abundant life that Jesus promised us. And that abundant life is not going to be found in me just trying to fill myself up with stuff of this world, temporary stuff. But He's the one that satisfies. He's the one that completes me. The will of God is my bread. So it's important that we know the will of God for our lives. Amen? I need to discover. I need to know. And I had people ask me, well, how do I know? And I can tell you, folks, that when you're born again, things change. All of a sudden, your desires begin to change. How many discovered that?
Yeah.
And I say, pay attention to your newfound passions. Amen? Because that's the call. That's the will of God for you, is the passion you have when you're on fire for God. There are certain things that you just, nobody has to tell you to do it. When you're on fire for God, you just want to serve in this capacity. And we're all different, amen? But just discover, you know, rediscover once again that place. The first works is called in Revelation, where God, Jesus had spoken to the church of Ephesus. He says, return and do the first works. Amen? Rediscover that love you had for Jesus and in the will of God for your life and the joy that you found in serving and helping and loving others. And yeah, that's abundant life. And that's what the Lord wants to give every one of us. And so I want to start today, Matthew chapter 9, verse 35. Then Jesus went about all the cities and villages, teaching in their synagogues, preaching the gospel of the kingdom, and healing every sickness and every disease among the people. Matthew 9, 36. But when he saw the multitudes, he was moved with compassion for them, because they were weary and scattered like sheep having no shepherd. Then he said to his disciples, the harvest truly is plentiful, but the laborers are. Therefore, the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Do what? Pray the Lord of the harvest to send out laborers into his harvest. Folks, I am fully convinced that God is calling everyone here to be involved, to be engaged in the work of the Lord. Every one of us. To serve him. How many know that if you're praying for laborers, that's going to mean you too, right? God, send Joe. Don't send me, but send Joe. No, God says you. What about you? Here I am, Lord. What? Send me. So God is looking for workers. He's looking for those who will serve him in the harvest. And I don't know about you, but I desire to have a full and meaningful life. Everybody does. We desire that. I touched on this before. What does it mean to be successful? And it really has to do with your perspective. How you see things. Are you looking at things from heaven's perspective, from God's perspective, from his eternal perspective? Or are you looking at your life from an earthly, temporal perspective? And so based upon how you view things will be the way that you live your life, the way that you conduct yourself. If your treasure is truly in heaven, then you're going to be living for that world, amen, for what will be. If your treasure is just on the temporal, earthly things, if it's just a pursuit of stuff and hopefully hitting the lottery or whatever, if that's your idea of success, you're being fooled, amen? You're fooling yourself. There are no U-Hauls, you've heard it said, right? Going to heaven. Can't take it with you. If you were to pass away today, what would you be remembered for? Would you be able to say, I have lived a full life in obedience to Christ? Would you be able to say, I have accomplished the will of God for my life? Or would you be able to say, like Paul, I have been faithful to that which had been entrusted to me? I've been faithful to the Lord, and I've been faithful to the end. And Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 6, as for me, he says, my life has already been poured out as an offering to God. The time of my death is near, and I have fought the good fight. I have finished the race, and I have remained faithful. And verse 8, and now the prize awaits me, the crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, will give me on the day of his return. And the prize is not just for me, but for all who eagerly look forward to his appearing. How many know that if you are living a life in anticipation of the return of Jesus, it will be revealed in the way that you live your life? If we knew Jesus was coming tonight, where do you think you might find yourself tonight? Maybe 6 o'clock.
Yeah.
Ah. But if we, you know, if you, you think about that, I believe we are to plan our lives as though we have 100 years, but live our lives as though we have one day. Like this is it. Because it could be our last day on the planet. And there won't be any time. Once you take your last breath, there won't be any time for you to go back and redeem anything. Are you hearing that?
Yeah.
Now is the acceptable time. Now is the day of salvation. God has called us now, and He has separated us, and He puts His Spirit in us, and He gives us purpose. Amen? And a reason to live and a reason to die. It's worth it. The Apostle John says, do not love this world, nor the things it offers you. Please listen. For when you love the world, you do not have the love of the Father in you. For the world offers only a craving for physical pleasure, a craving for everything we see, and pride in our achievements and possessions. These are not from the Father, but are from the world. And this world is fading away, along with everything that people crave. But anyone who does what pleases God or does the will of God will live forever. Because unfortunately, many people's view of eternity is live for today, eat, drink, and be merry, for tomorrow we die, you know. For many, their idea of success is having a large bank account, you know. Having a really nice car and a really nice house and a boat, too. A boat on top of it all. Boy, that's going to be success, you know. So you slave away, you work hard, you build a house. There's nothing wrong with having nice stuff. How many know God's not opposed to you having nice stuff? Amen? It's a matter of where are my priorities? What is the most valuable to me? Where is my treasure going to be? Am I spending all my energy, my time, and wasting myself on just temporal things? Or am I living for eternity? I need to ask myself the same question. What do I do with my time? Am I using my time wisely? Or am I wasting the time that I have where I could be productive? In light of eternity, because one life will soon be passed. Only what's done for Christ will last. Sometimes people think it's, you know, the latest technology or being famous or being best or being first, having the most. You know, you heard the statement, you know, he who has the most toys wins. I remember when I was in the Army and we were over in Korea and we weren't far from Japan, and technology at that time is now old. You find them maybe in Goodwill now, but there was the latest stuff in the stereos, and everybody was going out and getting stereos, and you know, we had stereo wars going on. Who would get the biggest and the most powerful speakers, and you know, and so that was the thing. It was in a sense keeping up with the... Is Chuck in here? Okay, good. I can use the Joneses as an example. But it was kind of like, you know, it was a vain pursuit, really. But it's the world and the things that are fading away, and it doesn't last. And it's really not what matters. And you discover that, especially as people age and they get older, you start to really become more conscious and aware of the fact that, hey, I used to have 50 years, and now I may have 40, I may have, who knows? We may not even have another day. We don't know. But what am I doing with my time? What am I doing with my life? Is my life going to be a life well lived? Or am I going to spend myself on vanity and end up a zero between the dates? Are you hearing me, folks? You and I have been given an opportunity to serve the living God. And to store up for ourselves treasure in heaven. Amen? That'll never fade or perish. To live for God is to have abundant life. To live for others is to know joy. You need joy in your life, sow joy into someone else. Amen. If you're lonely, start being a friend of the friendless. Be a friend of the lonely. You'll find your life will be full as you love people who you see. As we serve unto the Lord, whatever we do, we serve unto the Lord. We need to ask the question, what does God call success? And I answered this a few weeks ago. The greatest success story, folks, in history was Jesus Christ on the cross. Amen. For our sins. The death and resurrection of Jesus, it was a huge success because it meant we can now be forgiven. We can escape the penalty of sin. And listen, we can serve the Lord free from guilt, shame, and condemnation. Do you understand that God has made it possible for us to serve Him free of guilt and shame and condemnation? To have a conscience that has been sprinkled by the blood of Jesus. Amen. To be able to walk in peace. To know that my heart is right. My sins are forgiven. That to me is success, folks. Success is not living for self, but success is living for Him and living for eternity. There are many people who are going to have very little in this life, but they're going to be extremely wealthy in heaven. Come on. And you may struggle to get by and just to make, you know, the next paycheck or whatever. And if you're faithful, be faithful to God. Amen. Do what He calls you to do. Do everything without complaining and do it as unto the Lord. Even if you have a little, just be faithful in what little you have, knowing that God will take care of you. He will reward you someday. If you work not unto man, but unto Him. And whatever you do in word and deed, do all in the name of the Lord, giving glory, amen, to God the Father. Hallelujah. Jesus died to set us free. What did He set us free from? He set us free from Satan. Amen. He set us free from the power of sin. And He set us free from ourselves. Discovered that when I'm free from myself, I'm free indeed. Amen. When I'm full of myself, I'm bound up. I'm depressed. You know, I live in a place of pity when my focus is on me. How many know what I'm talking about? When you get your perspective heavenward, when you start to see things the way God sees things, you begin to function, you begin to live according to God's will for your life, and your life will be abundant. Jesus meant what He said, and He says, I came that you might have life, and life abundantly. It is a promise. So what does that look like? How do I do this thing? Well, it's simply saying no to you and yes to God. Amen. It's no longer serving self. Come on, you got to take care of yourself, right? Thank God we take showers and we take care of ourselves, right? And if you don't, I would highly recommend it. But when we take care of our bodies, amen. But we need to not neglect the most important part of us, and that is our spirit. Amen. The eternal part. And live for eternity. That's where life is at. Live for the will of God. You'll find your satisfaction is there. Jesus didn't live for Himself. But He lived for His Father's will and He lived for others. Unfortunately, we live in a world that is saturated with information. And a lot of the information is evil. And a lot of our people, adults as well, but children are just feeding, getting fed, and their minds are being poisoned by Hollywood and all the stuff that the world is offering them as something that will fulfill them. That will make them successful. That, you know, if you can just get to the top of the pile, if you can just be the most, if you can just be the best, if you can just excel and have the most toys, then you will be happy and successful. How many know there's a lot of depression up at the top? There's a lot of people who are, they've arrived at that place that they thought was going to fulfill them, and they find out they're just as bound as they ever were, and they're incomplete, They're dissatisfied with everything. Nothing seems to make them happy. That's why they're just doing dope and getting drunk and everything else. Why? Because the stuff, the money, is not what's going to complete a person. A man's life, Jesus says, does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. So we're not living for this world, but we're living for eternity. Are we willing to let it all go if God says to do it? If our idea of a successful life is a self-centered life, then we are fooling ourselves. There are many people that just live continually in a mode of, what can I get? How can I get more? And the more that they get, the less satisfied they are. Isn't that something? You know why that is? It's because God is saying, I don't want you to chase after wind and sand. I don't want you to chase after empty, vain things. I don't want you to spend yourself on just temporary things. I'll take care of your needs. I'll give you the stuff and even some things that you don't deserve. I'll give you some extra things in this world. But if that's what you're pursuing, folks, then it's like putting or rearranging the chairs on a sinking ship. You got to get off the ship, folks. It's going down. Amen. Get off that ship and get on the ark, Christ Jesus. Start living for eternity. Hallelujah. You know, a wise man, a builder who is wise, would not continue to build on a foundation that's cracked. Amen? Unless he's just a cheat or something. But you don't do that. If you realize that, hey, this foundation is no good, you quit building on it. It's just common sense, isn't it? Jesus said in Luke chapter 12, verse 21, I'll just read it for you. Yes, a person is a fool to store up earthly wealth, but not have a rich relationship with God. There's some rich folks here this morning. They may not be rich in this world, but they're rich in God. Amen? Luke 16:14 says, Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard all these things, and they derided him and said, Jesus said to them, You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. Listen, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God. Detestable, loathed greatly in the sight of God. What is highly esteemed among men? But then look at this. He says, you are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts. Do you understand that if we try to justify ourselves, because you can listen to any message at any time, you can read the scriptures, and you can always, if you choose to, justify yourself, but God knows your heart. You can say, oh, it's okay. God understands. Well, what did he just tell you? What did you just read? What did you just hear? He says those who justify themselves are actually an abomination to God. How many know that we need to bow our knee to what is true, to what is authentic? We don't want to live in a delusion, in a lie. We don't want to live in deception. We want to live in the truth. The truth sets you free. The truth is good. The truth is what's authentic. People are looking for what's authentic, what is real. I hear so many voices and so many perspectives and so many preachers and so much message going on, but what is true? Well, guess what? You cannot know what is truth unless the Lord reveals it to you. And He will reveal the truth to those who want to know the truth through His Spirit, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of truth. It's only by the Holy Spirit, right, that we can know what is true. And, you know, sometimes, folks, our view of what is important has been influenced by this present world system that we live in. The world's opinions, the world's values, its enticements. Jesus said in Luke 16:13, no servant can serve two masters. For either he will hate the one and love the other, or else he will be loyal to the one and despise the other. You cannot serve God and mammon, or money. Now the Pharisees, who were lovers of money, also heard these things, and they derided him. I just read that. And he said to them, "You are those who justify yourselves before men, but God knows your hearts, for what is highly esteemed among men is an abomination in the sight of God." If we're not careful, we can get caught up in esteeming what the world esteems. Can I suggest to you today that much of the church in America, at least by my observation, is doing just that, is esteeming what the world esteems and living for this temporal world and spending themselves on themselves. If you spend yourself on yourself, it will equal zero. And you're understanding that. God is calling laborers. He's calling workers. He's calling those who will come and labor in the harvest, who will be engaged in the work of the kingdom. Amen? To be kingdom people who are saying yes to God and no to self and enjoying, even in this world, the blessings and the benefits of a successful life. A life well lived is a life lived for God and a life lived for others. You understand? Time is quickly going by, folks. We don't know how much time we have left. What are we doing with the time we have? Jesus said, Matthew 24, verse 35, "Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away." You know, if we understand that the bank is breaking, you don't put any more money into it. Say amen, somebody. And I mentioned this, folks, that, you know, I think about Jimi Hendrix and some of the great rock musicians, you know, in this world. And at one time, the people that I used to idolize. And you know, now if you look at what's left, there are memorials, there are old LPs, and I'm dating myself a little bit here. But, you know, It's stuff that, in light of eternity, folks, equals zero. There's memorials. There are earthly memorials to these people. But what about an eternal heavenly memorial? Is there going to be a memorial in heaven for you and for me? As we read in Acts chapter, I believe it's Acts chapter 10. Cornelius had a memorial in heaven, didn't he? His prayers and his alms came up before the Lord. He took notice. This is a man that prayed. This is a man that loved and served others. And a memorial came up before the Lord. Are you hearing me? I don't know about you, but I want to be known in heaven. You may not get any notice here. People may despise you like they did Christ. They may reject you. They may cast you out of their company. But what really matters is, am I accepted there? Come on. Am I living for that which will be? Does God know who I am? Amen. Jesus said in that day, some are going to say, "Lord, Lord, didn't we do all these things in your name? Cast out devils, prophesy, do many wonderful works." And he'll say to them, "Depart from me. I never knew you, you that work iniquity." In other words, they had lived for themselves. They were their own God. We're not here to make ourselves famous. Come on, we're here to make Jesus famous. Earthly fame is temporary, amen? I want to be famous to God. I want God to know who I am. Does God know who you are? Are you living for eternity? How many say, "I'm going to start living for eternity"? What does God esteem? Two things, folks. He esteems His Word. Amen? His Word. He esteems His Word. In Psalms 138, verse 2, David, he said, "I will worship towards your holy temple and praise your name for your loving kindness and your truth, for you have magnified your word above all your name. You have magnified your word above all your name. What does that mean? A law of God is also a law unto God. God himself submits himself to what he says. If God submits himself to his own word, how much more should we submit ourselves to the word of God, come on, and live? That's what God esteems. Do you know what God esteems? God esteems the person who esteems his word. He esteems the person who esteems him. When you lift up Jesus, hallelujah, when you give glory to Jesus, how many know that you're also being lifted up? When you exalt God, he will exalt you. Lift up the Lord. Exalt him. Give him glory. Give him praise from your lips. From your heart. Amen. As you do that, God will lift you up. He esteems the one who esteems what he esteems. I said it already, but folks, if you're on a sinking ship, you don't keep sailing it. If you realize the ship is going down, don't keep sailing it. Get off. How many know that this present evil world is that sinking ship? Everybody good so far?
Yep.
We're getting it right. We understand what God is saying.
Yes,
he's saying, come out from among them. Serve me. Live for eternity.
Amen.
Don't worry about being famous in this world. Don't worry about being everybody's friend, because if you live for Jesus, there's going to be people that will hate you. But you're not living for this temporary world. You're not looking for an earthly memorial. If you're looking for an earthly memorial, guess what? That's all the reward you're going to get. You're just waving a flag and say, look at me, look at me. And I say, look at Jesus. Don't look at me, look at Jesus. We esteem what he esteems, and he esteems us. The Holy Spirit always lifts up the name of Jesus. Luke chapter 6, verse 47 says, whoever comes to me and hears my sayings and does them, I will show you whom he is like. What is he like? He is like a man building a house who dug deep and laid the foundation on the rock. And when the flood arose, the stream beat vehemently against the house and could not shake it, for it was founded on the rock. Now, we've all heard this, haven't we? Right? We've all heard that. We can quote it. The wise man built his house upon the rock. Are we doing this? Are we truly building our lives on the will, the purpose of God? Or are we building our lives on the sand, which represents our self-will? The sand represents a life that is lived for self. The rock is the will, the purpose of God, the word. Amen? How many know that wise people do not live for a world that is passing away? I'm not asking everybody to serve at the church here, okay? But you serve in the capacity by which God has equipped you, amen, and has anointed you, amen? We can use some help here, but, you know, pray and ask God, God, what would you have me to do? Because I don't want to waste my life. I want it to be meaningful, and I want it to be full, amen? And I want to have my treasure there in heaven. Ask the Lord. It's like John Kennedy said, don't ask what your country can do for you. You know, I like to say, don't ask what God can do for you. Ask what I can do for God. How many know God has done so much for us already? And he gave Jesus to die for us. He bled and died for me. Amen. The rest of my days I give back to him now to live for him. And that means to obey his word. That means to repent of my sin and my selfish ways and the ways that are contrary to his ways, to get my heart right in right order with him and begin to esteem what he esteems. And as you esteem what he esteems, he will esteem you. He will lift you up. Hallelujah. Amen. You know, the Lord loves to be loved. He wants us to love him. He takes us out of this world. He washes us. He fills us with his Holy Spirit. And he places us back in the world to be salt and light. And I wrote this down, but God has called us to be world changers, not world conformers. He has placed us here to be changers of our situation. Amen? If we want America turned back to God, it's going to require God's people doing what they were called to do. To be salt and light once again. To quit compromising, to quit doing the same thing the world does and loving the same thing the world loves. We've got to divorce ourselves from death and enter back into life. Amen? You got to get off the sinking ship. It's going down. Amen? And get on to Jesus. Amen? Place yourself, your life, upon Him, the solid rock, the solid foundation. Jesus said in John 12:26, if anyone serves me, let him follow me. And where I am, there my servant will be also. If anyone serves me, him my Father will honor. Do you want God's honor? How many here say, I want God's honor? I want God to honor me. Okay. Soon, and very soon, we are going to see the King. The Bible says that every knee shall bow to Him. Every tongue confess, that's right, that Jesus Christ is Lord. That day is coming. As for me and my house, we're going to serve the Lord. We've made a decision. But folks, what you need is the power of God, the power of the Holy Spirit, in order to serve God effectively. How many have heard the word today? Not just in your hearing, but you understand in your heart what God is calling you to do. And how many of you who have heard this message today are going to say, I am going to commit myself now to what I know God expects of me, and I'm going to recommit my life to Jesus and to the work of the ministry, the work of the gospel. Every one of us here is a minister. My job is simply to equip you to do the work of the ministry. Every one of us to do the work, amen? In our sphere of influence, where you work in the marketplace, to heal the sick, to cast out demons, to lead people, amen, to Jesus Christ. Bring them to church. Invite people to church. We all have a purpose, amen? Let's serve the Lord. Let's advance His kingdom and not our own. Let's live for eternity and not for the temporal world that is fading away. He who does the will of God abides forever. How many of you here didn't say, you know what? I find myself feeling very weak and inefficient and ineffective and not really able. I know what God is asking me to do, but I just don't find the strength or the ability to do it. How many would just be honest and say, that's me. I know what God is asking me to do, but I realize that I need something more to help me. Well, God promises to give you power. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you will be my witnesses. And so what we need is to be filled with the Holy Spirit. When you are filled with the Holy Spirit, you will be able to do the supernatural. You will be able to open your mouth where once you could not. Believe it or not, I am a shy person naturally. But it's the Spirit of the Lord who enables me. Yes. And yes. This is it. I choose to say yes to God. Yes. And when I choose to say yes to God, He empowers me and enables me to do what I cannot do naturally. Right. That way, His life is manifested and people will know that God is in you. They will look past the clay, amen, and say, well, isn't that the carpenter's son, they said of Jesus? Oh, he was more than a carpenter's son. But you and I in Christ have the ability to do the impossible. For with God, nothing shall be impossible. And what did Paul say? I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me.